Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. And now I will read to you the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, and you will respond with the words, Amen. Lord, have mercy. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me.
Amen.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Jesus said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 126, found in your bulletin, in unison. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave him a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was not this perfume sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept a common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that I might keep it. She might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Ten years ago, I wronged someone. Now, because I was in a process of self-reflection and self-improvement, I discovered this wrong. And I realized that I needed to make an apology for this wrong and to make an amends. But there were two problems. One, I actually did not have the means to make the amends at that time in life. And two, I was embarrassed and afraid. I was embarrassed because, you see, the person did not know I had wronged them. And to claim it out loud was something too shameful for me at that point in my life. So, three or four years went by, and I discovered I was in a place in life where I had the means to make that amends. But I was still afraid. I was embarrassed. So another 3 or 4 years went by, and I discovered that I had the means to make that amends, and I was no longer embarrassed or afraid. But it had been 7 or 8 years, so why make the amends? And again, I let it slip. And then I got a job that was going to take me all the way to Florida, and this scenario came up again. And I said, "I've got the means. I'm at a place where I can do it. I'm going to do this." I called the person up. We met at a specified place. We chit-chatted for a little bit. I then explained to her how I had wronged her. I apologized for that wrong, and I handed her the amends. Now, I should say, it was a pretty cut and dry wronging, so it was a pretty cut and dry amends, not thankfully. And so as I handed over the envelope of amends, she says to me, "Well, I accept your amends, and for what it's worth to you, I forgive you." It threw me. It threw me because I understood that I needed to make an amends. I understood that I needed to apologize, but I did not comprehend or even think about the need or desire even to be forgiven. We chatted a little bit more, said goodbye, I got in my car. This is LA, so I had about a 45-minute drive home. And I, all of a sudden, I'm in my car, and this song starts singing in my head. And this song is not something I hear on the radio or sing. It's been years, I think, since I'd thought of it. But it starts singing in my head, and then it starts humming through my body. And then I'm singing out loud, "Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me, over me." And I'm singing out loud, and I'm crying. Because all of a sudden I have this sense of wholeness, of peace, of forgiveness, of connection, of possibility that I didn't even realize I didn't have. It was incredible to be aware of the abundance of God, of the forgiveness of God, of the grace of God, that potently and powerfully. And what happened was, for like 3 or 4 days, I was just abundant. I'd do nice things for everybody, and I would seek ways to be as generous as I could possibly be. And I even came up with a list of what I call my big blessing hopes, where I've got 2 or 3 people that I know I want to bless them in a very specific way, not because I owe them something, but because I want them to experience something of what I experienced. So not out of amends, but out of abundance. I still keep this list. I can't explain it to you, but I was transformed. And the only way I could express it was through that song and that sharing. And I'm certain, although I can't tell you if Mary needed to be forgiven, but Mary was transformed by her relationship with Jesus. And that's why she poured that perfume on his feet and dried it with her hair. It was out of her abundant transformation of knowing Jesus, of being in relationship with him, that she had to do something for him extravagantly because she knew his death was coming. It was a beautiful moment, an abundant moment. The scripture tells us that the perfume filled the entire house. Everyone there knew they were part of a blessing, except Judas. There is Judas with the other disciples in that same room, witnessing that event, smelling that perfume, and he is furious. He's angry because how dare that expensive perfume be wasted such? It should have been sold, and we could have given the money to the poor, and we could have helped out. Now, I'm going to tangent quickly. Disregard the statement about Judas being a thief. It could be true, but it's the only place in Scripture that I'm aware of where it calls him a thief. And if money was so important to him, why did he give back the 30 pieces of silver? My guess is that's somebody else trying to give him a worse name. So maybe he is, maybe not. But let's just assume that he was just trying to do the right thing. But the right thing according to who? Because Judas, that moment was irrational. It was inexcusable. Something else should have done. But you see, the grace and abundance, the forgiveness of God, it's not irrational, but nor is it rational. The grace and forgiveness of God is non-rational, meaning it actually exists outside of the bounds of our capacity to reason. Think about this. The Psalms tell us that God's ways are greater than our ways. God's thoughts are greater than our thoughts. When one of the disciples says to Jesus, thinking he's being very extravagant, because back then the scripture said you had to forgive someone 3 times, he goes, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone? 7 times? And Jesus goes, no, I tell you, 7 times 70 times. Jesus wasn't giving him a specific number. He was saying, my understanding of forgiveness is outside of your capacity to ration or reason. It's a way of being, not a way of thinking. Now, I'm going to say this. Theology is important. And the capacity to think and reason about God is a valuable tool. But when it becomes the necessity to experience God, when we have to figure it out, then we might actually miss out on the grace and abundance that is God's, that is all around us. Just like that perfume in the air in that house, and just like the air we breathe right now. Paul says in the book of Acts, to a bunch of Romans actually, quoting their poets, it is God in whom we live and move and have our being. In God we live, move, have our being, like a fish in water. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the theologian and ultimately Christian martyr, said that God exists in 2 places. The core of our being and the edge of our existence. Who we are and at the edge of who we are. And when Moses was at the burning bush, he asked God God's name. And God said, I am who I am. I'm sure you're familiar with that phrase, I am who I am. What that actually is the to be verb. A little boring in English, the to be verb. But God used a verb to express God's self, and God's self said, I am beingness. I am beingness. Now, the word that we translate as Yahweh or Jehovah, that's the word I'm talking about, the name of God. In Judaism, you actually could never say that name out loud. And so in Jewish scriptures, that name is written with no vowels, because there's no vowels in Hebrew, but that's another story. And the word has 4 letters. In English, those letters are YH, WH. And so as written in the Hebrew scriptures, the name of God goes something like this. Every time you breathe, you say the name of God. And I didn't make that up. Theologians have been saying it for thousands of years. And so God, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's abundance, God's transformation, God's possibility is all around us always, all the time. It's in whom we live and move and have our being. It's at the core of our being and the edge of our existence. Every time we breathe, we say the name of God. It's good to think about God. But let go of having to figure God out. Let go and breathe. Just breathe. Breathe.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
O God, you are always true to us in love, and we ask your forgiveness for our faithlessness to you and to one another, for our forgetting the poor and the broken, for our failure to cherish creation. Give us life, O God, to change and enable us to change that we may live. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort the sick and the suffering, Lord Christ. I invite you to speak the names of those in need.
Louise, Pat, Nancy, Jillian.
Be with the lonely and with those who mourn. We remember especially Sarah Everett and Ken Wilburn and Latrell Sheffield and Aiden McClendon, the toddler shot and killed 3 days ago here in Jacksonville. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died.
Don.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to the world, O Christ, for only you can bring reconciliation between nations and peoples. We pray especially for the Middle East and Africa. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the leaders of this nation in the ways of justice and peace. Help us all to listen to one another with open minds and hearts, to communicate, to articulate, and to learn from one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Keep us faithful, O Christ, in this season of Lent, that we may be enriched by the practices and disciplines that we have adopted during these 40 days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious and loving God, our Heavenly Father,
you have called us in this diocese to a goodly community of faith. You have called us also to bring others to know and love you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because it is only by your mercy that we can do those good things you require of us, we pray that you would give us a special measure of your grace as we seek to be obedient to your great commission. Assist us, O Lord, and help us as we set out to do those things you would have us to do, to bring others to the knowledge and love of you. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you all. Welcome, welcome, and thank you for springing forward. I know that can be a little bit painful. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so they can find you. We're so blessed to have you all here today with us. And there are also little cards in your pew. If you want to fill those out, we'll send you our e-newsletter. Welcome, welcome. We had a beautiful family come and stay with us this week. Aisha and her beautiful children, are you here? Yay, there she is. Please welcome her as part of our Family Promise program. And her beautiful children, they're so beautiful. And thank you to all the volunteers who helped with meals and playing with the children. It's just a beautiful program, and we're so proud of them. Coffee hour this morning is going to be in Burwell Court after the service, and we have a celebration because I really feel that if someone is 90 or over, they deserve a round of applause. John Corse is 92. John, would you stand up, please? And he is a wonderful role model for us. He swims, he is so bright, he's just in great shape. So ask him what he's doing right. After the service, the St. John's Legacy Society will be having a luncheon for everyone who's included the cathedral in their estate planning. If you'd like to learn more about how to be a legacy giver, you are invited to attend. And believe it or not, next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Can you believe it? Did you have a good Lent? You doing okay? You still practicing your discipline or whatever you're doing? I hope so. Please check your bulletin. The week following Holy Week is huge. It's the holiest season of the church year. We're offering wonderful things here at the cathedral. I hope you will make it a point of walking with Jesus to the cross. If you do that, your Easter will have very deep and significant ramifications. So on Palm Sunday, if you're able, we're going to, at 10 o'clock, walk following Jesus on the donkey all the way to Heming Park and back. And then during the week of Holy Week, please check your bulletin. We do have a Seder dinner on Wednesday night at 7, a full Seder. Reservations and payment are required. And to sign up now, you can find a friendly face with a clipboard in the back of the church or call the church office. There's a lot of wonderful things going on, and we're so blessed to be part of this community. Remember, as David said, that God is all around us, from within our hearts to the very edge of our existence. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and singing. Praise you and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. You may be seated.
Thank you.
And now please join me as we send forth our Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We are who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Thank you, Bill. Again, I want to remind you to come to coffee hour in Borough Court to greet our beautiful family that lived here with us and celebrate John's birthday. We also have a special guest who will be with us, Lord Liz Vane and the Reverend Lady Liz Vane, who are from England, and he is a member of the House of Lords, and she is a British priest. Will you stand? Where are you? I can't find you. Ah, there you are. Please welcome them here at coffee hour as well. And let us say together the post-communion prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
love and serve the Lord.